At TalkTalk, we're helping the nation to save money on their broadband. If you're out of contract on your superfast fibre, you could save £338 on average by switching to TalkTalk. For just £24.45 a month for 24 months and no setup fees. So switch now and save big. Search TalkTalk. TalkTalk for everyone. CPI plus 3.7% annual increase from April 2023. Average saving on fibre 65 versus competitors publicly available out of contract non-promotional pricing on 9th May 22. Ends 13th July, subject to availability.
It's time for mullet on mullet action. We saw Stone Cold, so you know what that means. Largo, our Los Angeles home. So happy to be in front of this amazing live audience of bikers. Yes, today the audience is all bikers. Let me hear you, biker. This would be awesome. People, we are talking about Stone Cold today. Stone Cold was Brian Bosworth, an NFL legend, decided to start acting, and people said no. We're going to find out why. But more importantly, what do you need to know if you've not seen this movie? Clearly, everyone in this audience has seen it, but if you're listening and you thought, maybe I should skip the movie, you've made a grave mistake. Stop the podcast now. Watch the movie. Watch it again, and then come back. Stone Cold is about a very mild manner policeman who is known for busting bikers, who is then sent to undercover bust bikers. And then there's a plot to assassinate someone in Washington or Alabama. I'm not totally sure. I do believe it might be Washington. But again, unclear. This movie is a lot of fun. It might even fall into that category of thank God it got made. But I won't know until I hear from my co-host. Please welcome Mr. Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up, jerks? How are we doing, LA? What's happening, Largo? You motherfuckers. Wowee. I took notes during this movie. One note, no notes! This movie is perfect! How have we never seen this before? End the podcast now! Play the only time I would rather you just play the movie.
It truly is, for me, and
five stars.
I think this is the problem with a movie like this, the preconceived notion that this would be bad. Kind of like when I think MacGruber came up, you're like, oh, it's an SNL sketch, we don't want to see it. And it's one of the funniest movies ever. This, you're like, Brian Bosworth
this
in a movie?
This is a comparison I would not have thought you would make.
Well, because I think it's like that initial thought.
It
that
is dismissed
it
out of
good.
Hand because it's Brian Bosworth.
Right.
But you would be making a colossal error. Because
you
this is
your brain
next
broke.
Level.
Your brain broke. If you think that.
Let's bring June out because I got stuff to say.
All right. There is one person who loves to speak about hair, who knows everything about clothing, and loves a human Viking funeral. And she is my other co-host. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. Welcome. Welcome, June. How are you?
I'm well, Paul. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
Good.
June, I know you were nervous before we watched this film. You said, oh, what are we watching? Oh, that sounds difficult, I think, was how you described it.
Well,
thoughts?
Actually, yesterday I did say to Paul, what's on the docket for tomorrow? And
what level of misery
am
will
I
have
expecting?
To endure?
Yeah, and he said it's called Stone Cold. And I said, ah, that sounds difficult. And then you said, people are really upset about the movie.
Right.
And I said, oh, man, I'm so bummed. I don't want to do this. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Wait. This is news to me. Why were people upset
with you?
I just agreed to it because I didn't want to wreck your flow. I don't remember saying people were upset.
You don't remember this?
But yeah, your thoughts. Because I know that Jason and I, we love this type of a film. Where do you fall on this?
Did you feel like it had enough explosions or not enough explosions?
I mean, listen, I've always had a fascination and fear of bike culture. I really have.
Add it to the list.
I have had.
That's a t-shirt.
And I like to look at it from afar, and I never want to get close to it.
Right.
Sure.
I want to stay such a healthy distance away from it. But I did have. I was fascinated by the field day they seem to be on in the beginning of
they
the movie.
They are having a blast.
Fun, the antics.
After 2 years at home, I would happily let anybody shoot a beer off of my shoulder with a machine gun?
By the way, that
you
machine
can't
gun.
Aim that.
That machine gun shoots a beer can off a man's shoulder, but he holds the trigger down, fires dozens of bullets that seemingly miss the person, but blows up the VW bug behind him.
Here's a challenge. The bikers in this movie look awesome. Here's how I know. Those sunglasses, Rihanna wears those.
That's true.
If
sunglasses.
You photoshopped the
That's
whole movie,
true.
Tiny sunglasses. What's more relevant than right now than tiny?
You're right. It's all coming
sunglasses.
Back. I mean, and this is what's interesting. It's like the
do
the
you have
field
a sunglasses
day.
Folder?
I might.
Please do, because Lance Hendrickson has sunglass after sunglass that any normal person would be wearing in the movie, saying, these monsters wear these.
Well, they are a hip bunch of Aryans. And that's something that the movie does skirt around a little bit.
Yes.
These are not just bikers.
Sure.
They are
Nazis.
Yeah,
they're full-blown Nazis.
They're full-blown Nazis. Full-blown
Nazis. You know how you know? Because they storm a Capitol building.
That's true. That's true.
Act 3 of this movie is a documentary about January 6th.
And
except that more people got justice.
And if you watch the post-credits scene, none of them went to jail.
Here's the thing. Let me just say one more thing about the field day. Because I think that's how we are
going to get into it.
Okay, so we'll stay on this for a while. But we see them, I think, at rest. Like, I think that's when we find, because we've seen them at work. We saw the supermarket scene.
Oh, yeah.
We want to talk about
them
that,
doing
too.
Their, yes, we saw that big, giant sequence, and we'll talk about that. But when we cut to them at play, they are having a grand old time.
And they're laughing.
Oh,
they're laughing.
They are
so
joyful.
Much.
Well, this is an important thing. Just because you work hard doesn't mean you can't play
I've always
hard.
Said it.
Here's,
I've always
and
said
there's
it.
A real first come, first serve energy. Like, Brian Bosworth just kind of, I'm going to call him the Boz from here on out. The Boz just kind of rolls up to a motorcycle race. Didn't seem like he entered or anyone knew that he was going to be joining. And it's only a two-person race. So it's like, almost like if you're in an arcade and you're like in one of those big, like, those big things. It's like, well, if someone jumps in, I guess I'm going to race them. It's like, that guy was waiting. happens.
Yeah.
Brian got in there and he goes, and then he gets into the pit.
Well, it's as if, you're right, it's kind of like a field day is the right way to put it, because it's all these different events, except the events are biker murder events.
Yes.
It almost felt like the gathering of the Juggalos or something.
Only missing the Faygo.
But genuinely, like, they really seem to have figured out the work-life balance.
Honestly,
they are in that supermarket fucking blowing people away.
But that's not even like, that just seems like a fun night out, because they go into this supermarket, and I want to break down this scene. This supermarket scene, also very odd that Cobra, the Stallone movie that came out maybe like a year or two before this, also has a scene that starts off in a supermarket. Like, was there a rash of like supermarket robberies in
Arizona
the late 80s?
As well?
What?
Doesn't Raising Arizona as well?
Well, yeah, that at least is like a petty crime.
Also, Forsythe?
This is like Loaded Weapon. Well, Loaded Weapon is a spoof of action. So
idiot!
Yes. but I would...
Get him out of here.
I don't even know why I responded to Loaded Weapon like I needed to. No, you don't need to
joke
that.
Loaded Weapon.
Yeah, the spoof. National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon? Yeah. With Sam Jackson and Emilio Estevez, I'm familiar. The movie where
I teach you, you don't teach me.
But this idea of robbing...
2 years, I'm meaner than ever, everybody.
Robbing a grocery store, and not a big one. Like, how much money are we taking from the till here?
How about later when Nancy is like, oh my God, Chains is going to kill me. I couldn't get the money. How much? $400. I was like, what are the stakes of this movie?
It's so weird. And he's like, oh, here.
Here's
four. Got it. It's right here.
This movie is the bikers and the mafia are trying to control $400 protection racket?
Like, I mean, what?
Honestly, the amount they're spending just on ammunition to get that $400.
This is not worth it.
They must be losing money. Best breaking even.
This is a small town? Question mark. Right?
This movie is all over the spot, but I do love that they're trying to show the maximum amount of carnage. But they can't kill a lot of people. I mean, they do, but the opening shot is them just like ripping with a machine gun into bags of Doritos. Like,
that guy hates Ritz crackers.
Shoot the Cool Ranch! I mean, let's take a look at,
This is not, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I was so curious about Bosworth's entrance. Now, I don't know him. This was my first experience of him.
Sure.
I did not know he was
a came out in 1991.
Football player.
And you wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Except at that time, because he was like the bad boy, but like even I don't know anything about
the Boss. I think the thing about, and that many people will be mad at me or be like, no, he was known for this. He was known for being an asshole. He was known for being like a good old boy. And I think he was known for wearing like Zubaz pants, which were like, like leopard, like striped, like who's that, what that documentary that you watched, June, about the woman who had the pants? What was that?
June, pants documentary, go. June, Doc, Doc Pants. Pants Doc. Shortlist, Oscars, Pants Doc. Bonobos.
The woman who has like the crazy pants. What was it called?
Oh, the multi-level marketing scam, LuLaRoe.
Holy
thank you, audience.
Shit.
Yes.
That's what we need, not the loaded weapon
woman
shit.
Woman who had the pants.
The thing about the Buzz that the only real thing I remember is that was his haircut. He had
the mullet on mullet.
Mullet, crazy
That's
shape.
That's quite
outside.
A look, yeah.
Like, but hear me out, right? And for how many people saw the movie? Okay. This movie would be a legitimate classic if instead of Brian Bosworth, it was Patrick Swayze.
Yes! I literally wrote
it
down.
It would be Roadhouse Part 2. It would have that vibe and that energy.
I want to say something, though. I don't think Bosworth did a bad job.
No.
I'm not.
I don't
but it
think
would
he
be
did.
A, but we also have never seen it. I'm saying if Patrick Swayze had been in it, we'd all be like, oh, yeah, Stone Cold.
I wrote
best
this,
fucking movie ever.
I wrote this down. I go, is this better than Roadhouse? Or it felt akin, right? And I think there was something about it where... Like, he is as understated as Patrick Swayze. Because at one point, we're like, you gotta stop working this job. He's like, hey, I don't think I should. Like, he's very
mild-mannered. That's where I appreciated his choices, because football to acting, it's not a transition you see every day.
No.
You know, so I do think sometimes when you see athletes start acting, the choices are bold, the choices are too much. And I felt like he was really okay with doing very little.
He didn't chew the scenery. He didn't, like...
He held it.
Yeah.
He held that shot. He held those shots. He held his own. He was great. And I mean, but... Lance Hendrickson face-to-face with Patrick Swayze? Game over. It's going to be...
Yeah.
But by the way... 100%. Bosworth does great in this.
And he's standing up against two, like, legit big bad guys. William Forsythe, who is... I know him from the Steven Seagal movie, Out for Justice, I think. But, like, these are, like, good 80s or, I guess, 90s baddies. Like, he's, the bad guys are good. Like, this is a good movie. Everybody in here is a legit good movie.
A great character actor. And I'm sure, more information. But, they really... maybe because they were nervous about Bosworth, and forgive me, like, had he done movies before, or is this...
No, this was the chance. Like, and I do believe...
Wow, I kind of am sad for him.
Me too.
Should we bring him back?
What's he up to?
Here is what I'm going to say about this movie that makes it even more impressive. They don't go into detail. I haven't found anything specific about it, but apparently due to personal reasons that were affecting the film, the original director had to leave.
Oh, no.
They brought in a new director, and both Brian Bosworth and Lance Hendrickson said they improvised all of their dialogue.
They did not.
And by the way, wow.
Wow.
Okay, you know what, though? And I'm going to say this because that actually makes sense. Because a lot of their scenes feel more like hangout scenes than they do feel like plot-driven scenes. Because I frequently found myself being like, huh, why are they here? Because the dialogue has not told me why they're going there.
No, and occasionally...
It just is the story had to go here. So I'm like, okay.
Occasionally,
I didn't care!
Occasionally you'll get a moment where a character will turn their head enough that their mouth is off camera and they'll be like, meet us at the race tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then Brian Bosworth will have a reaction like, fucking idiot. And you're like, well, that reaction doesn't work with what we just heard, but that was information that we do need.
The driving plot. I couldn't tell you why this happens. Here's the inciting incident, the early montage of the movie I wrote down after this whole nonsense happens and Biker Field Day Part 1, pre-Bosworth Biker Field Day. It's bikers ride, bikers party, bikers shoot priest at baptism?
Wait. I want to bring this up.
Why?
Because...
Why?
This is...
Why did they do that? It's the most important part.
This is the centerpiece of the movie. There is a moment in the opening of this film...
Can you imagine?
...where that priest is in front of a stained glass window. A biker walks down the center, separates two parents. I thought it was a marriage.
Did you ever get baptized?
No.
Pretty wild story, actually.
That biker, with no distance between his shotgun and the priest, blows the priest out of the window. What did that priest do?
You're talking about Trouble Owens, right?
Yes, who has no line?
Trouble Owens.
None. We will find out later on that the priest is only one, I think, of three religious leaders who were killed. Don't they have a statement, like there's a news scroll that goes by or some anchor says... Yeah. That the gang is responsible for killing... I don't know. What seems to have happened to the Brotherhood is that...
Aryan Brotherhood. Brotherhood.
But it seems at one point the Brotherhood was functioning as a gang, absolutely a gang, you know, and bringing people in and providing them with things they didn't have and offering protection and having those resources. fine. I mean, not fine, but okay.
Fine.
Okay.
We're buying
but,
into
you know,
it.
Like, okay.
I don't love it, but
I don't
you
love
know what?
It.
You're making a living with what you've got.
You got showers outdoors.
But,
you got kids pushing strollers.
Yeah.
A whole
you
know, family
okay.
can live on
there
the commune.
There are children there. There yeah. are children there.
Instead of shooting those Doritos, maybe bring some home for the family. But again.
But it seems to me that at some point, and I don't know if this is chains. I don't know if this is the guy who shot the priest. But at some point, it seems
Trouble
that they
Owens.
Lost their minds.
Yeah.
And just
from PCP?
Like, when I don't
PTP, I think.
Oh,
okay. Paul, I don't want to correct you.
I don't
PTP.
I don't know. I don't think it doesn't seem to me that the movie's positing that they're on drugs and went crazy.
Well,
it just seems they went insane.
Well, here's my issue. My main thrust of the film, and this is maybe the reason why the script might have helped, is they kill this priest. In the middle of a crowded church with no masks on, everyone saw it. What I'm saying is, if you're gonna murder someone by shotgun, they do it in a way that's so very obvious. And it seems to be the thrust of the film is this maniac killed a priest and he got 45 years to life, and we feel like, fuck the system. Like, this man was
no,
wrongly
but Paul, but
prosecuted.
Paul, why? Okay, so that's a part of it. And yes, that's where we all enter into the story. But something happened
yes.
to the Brotherhood because they are... Why was that priest killed?
But I'm saying, why are they reacting so harshly? It's
not
like,
only
45 years is great.
Not,
and
what do they do? Their immediate move, William Forsythe, blows up the judge. Blows up
yeah.
the judge who gave him 46 years. So then the guy that they're calling the Whip, because his name is
Whip It
or something like
that. By the
that.
Way, can I show my favorite scene of this movie? This is why they get really mad at the Whip. And
so,
the Whip is the villain. I mean, it's interesting.
It's he's not really the villain because
absolutely
he only
not
appears
the villain.
On TV until
yeah.
the end of the movie.
And by the way, the Whip is only saying... You should get more time than 45 years for killing a priest
yeah.
in broad
By
daylight.
The way,
like,
Paul,
that's what the bad guy is.
You just said he's the bad guy. This is a hero.
I know.
The movie has poisoned you
it really
into
has.
Rooting for the
it
Aryan
really has.
Brotherhood.
Paul, you
but
are not
the way,
in the Brotherhood. You're
this
not.
Is a movie.
You are a Nazi. You've fallen into QAnon.
But by the way,
really
this
upsetting.
Is a movie where the bad guys win because what happens at the end? The motherfucker dies.
Everybody dies.
He is
Here's my
at the end.
Thing. Lance, at the end of the movie, Lance Hendrickson wins. He
the
kills the entire
worked.
Supreme Court and this guy. Like, what? Mission accomplished, George Bush. Come on.
Literally, Stone Cold did nothing.
Stone Cold should be
he
put in
He didn't do
jail.
Anything.
He failed at his stated mission.
He
like,
really
the only,
did.
The only person he successfully killed barely was Mac's dad from It's Always Sunny, who's in the helicopter.
All right, so this moment...
I'm
was
furious.
This moment, now again, we're in 1991, so I guess we're still enamored with remote controls? I don't know. Because Lance Hendrickson seems to be really fascinated with this.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
I intend to appeal this sentencing as many times as it takes to get the death sentence. That's the biggest skip. Sentencing as many times as it takes to get the death sentence. That's the biggest skip. To get the death sentence. The death sentence.
I mean, this man, he's having a mental break. Truly.
It's like he's making a remix. Like, somebody take that and put a beat under it, please.
And by the way, this is a man who deals in death. Being mad that someone's saying the one person who like the scales are so fucked up.
It's kind of like Point Break almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in that, like you are in a way rooting for the bad guys because they do such a good job both in casting and in building them out that you are like, okay, yeah, I guess I'm on board for the Aryan Brotherhood. I guess I hate the Whip too.
By the the way...
The man who's simply trying to bring justice to Trouble Owens, who shot a priest performing a baptism? The guy was holding a baby!
I mean,
I was never... I will say, for the record, I was never on board with the Brotherhood. I never was. I just wasn't. But I just to go back to the beginning for a second, and when we're introduced to Bosworth, so many questions about him in the supermarket.
Do you want to talk about his trench coat?
Well, I want to talk about his trench coat for about an hour. And
like
I also want to talk about what was in his basket.
Yeah.
So
let's do it.
Because I also was like struggling with, did he know they were there?
Well, he seems to just be shopping, but how did he not hear the gunshots?
I mean, he walks in.
That's him coming.
He walks in. He's a man on a mission to do some late night grocery shopping. But meanwhile, again, it's not a large supermarket. He must have passed by. They all seem to be in the front of the supermarket.
Yeah.
They have a gun to a girl with a retainer on. And if for Xena fans, she's one of our favorites from Xena, that actress.
Well, I was also like remembering how far we've come with, you know, dental technology.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
You're right.
It's easy to forget that. It really
Invisalign
is.
Invisalign now has really taken over.
Yeah, when you look back, you know, I had adult braces that were behind my teeth for many years. You just realize, like, wow, we've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way.
I mean,
way.
This woman is wearing a football helmet
of braces.
It's insane
what she's wearing.
And they call her tinsel teeth. Like, she becomes the real ire of the gang. And again, doesn't seem to work there.
Why are they taking hostages?
She's a patron.
They don't even need to take hostages in the supermarket. No one is armed. It seems like 10 guys enter. Like they're breaking into a bank.
Tell everybody to get on the floor and just take the
That's a great idea.
The fucking cash registers.
You don't
each
need
one
to interact with anybody in the dry cereal aisle. Never
you,
mind everybody in the wet cereal aisle.
Wet cereal.
Soppy
and then
wet just, cereal.
Just walk away with $375 and call it a night.
And party our balls off at Biker
and
Field
start
Day.
Start dragging each other behind trucks.
Hey, let's make sure we grab some Ritz for the fucking fights tomorrow.
But here's the thing. So he walks in with such purpose, you know, and in his basket is a bunch of bananas, and then a box of saltines.
Well, I was wondering, you think this is all leading up to the
smoothie he's making?
Did you? Yeah. Okay. Now, did you assume that the smoothie beat was making fun of Sylvester Stallone?
Oh. No.
That's
because there's such a kind of the Rocky making the egg drink for himself.
Right.
Is such a part of like that? Is this making fun of that? No.
Well, I think.
Am I wrong?
I don't understand comedy, so it's very possible. I thought they were a little bit taking the piss, but I didn't know where it was. Okay.
I definitely think it is a misdirect because you're like, okay, Snickers bars.
Two Snickers. I have the ingredients if
you
want.
Oh, yeah, please.
OJ, two Snickers, a banana, chips. A raw egg, two raw eggs with the shells. No, thank you.
And hot
and Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, I mean, here he is making his smoothie.
Nice. I love this. This look is legendary. A scoop neck shirt. Soundtrack, all bangers.
Those potato chips. And...
Oh, there it goes. Why crack it?
Why crack it?
You're going to put it all in.
Again,
just throw the whole thing in.
If you're going no script, great improv.
And weird shot, very low.
A
point of view shot for...
A pancake mixture for a character that we're not going to see ever again, but...
Look at those are his pants. Those are Zubaz pants.
Those are Zubaz. Yeah, there's an...
Oh my God, I forgot about this guy.
That's a Komodo dragon?
He has
Where does it go?
forgot about this guy.
Very late in the movie, I wrote, where's his Komodo dragon? Wouldn't it be awesome if the Komodo dragon saved him?
Well, by the way...
Like a third act
totally
rescue?
Totally forgot.
By the way, I was like, this is such a, like... what makes him interesting? He's got a Komodo dragon. Like, I mean, it's such a weird, like, it's like when Clint Eastwood did movies with, like, a monkey. It's like, yeah, he was a truck driver, but fucking monkey's his best friend.
I bet in the script it was a dog, and someone was like, I got a great pitch. What if instead of a dog, it's a big lizard, like an alligator? We can't get an alligator. We can get a Komodo dragon.
Well, now, by the way, I will correct you because Nate Kiley, our lead researcher, says this is the worst IMDb trivia item he has ever seen. The meal Brian Bosworth makes for his Nile monitor. That's
oh,
the name
it's
of the
a
thing.
Monitor lizard? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
It's a big lizard. Is not at all suitable for that animal. Okay, of course. Reptiles cannot digest citrus fruit, orange juice, or dairy / chocolate, Snickers bars. Nile monitors are carnivores, and only the eggs would have been appropriate for it. People who keep Nile monitors as pets would be feeding it pre-killed mice and rats, rabbits, baby chickens, parts of full-grown chickens, ground turkey, ground beef, fish, and if they keep other animals, they might even feed them ones that have died of natural causes as well.
Okay, well,
IMDb,
wait a
thanks
second.
For coming in hot with that trivia.
By the way, I found that comment useful. Wow.
But
well, that
the
answers
idea
the question
of, like,
where it goes for the rest of the movie. It died.
I guess it definitely died.
It ate this concoction.
It definitely died.
He probably just got it the day before.
But
he
also,
like, I don't know, maybe this.
I don't love the guideline of, like, if another animal you have, another pet dies, like, that's good for the dragon. Like, that seems pretty horrible.
Oh, yeah, I feel like
horrible.
It also incentivizes you to find dead pets.
And also, like, maybe
dead.
Not take right. care of the other pets you have.
Yeah. Yeah, in an effort to just be like,
feed this one.
You know what? If
beast.
Something goes wrong with this guy,
it's going right there.
Straight to that guy's tummy.
But this is, again, this moment where he kind of caresses the lizard. Like, the lizard comes up in his arms like a dog would, like, and he hugs it. So we get like, oh, he's a sensitive guy. But I can't get a read on his attitude. Like, is he a bad cop? Is he a rogue cop?
So I think, first of all, I have so many issues with the way, you know, the entertainment industry deals with cops. Because we love to see a cop who likes to break the rules. And it's really shaped, I think, our cultural understanding of police and the use of force. But that's another podcast on a different day. But this is actually, I think, a really good example of, like, we're watching a cop who's misbehaving, and he's going to be our hero. Now, why he was placed on 3 weeks of suspension, we never really find out what happened there.
We don't. The only thing we know is that he's a number of times specifically gone undercover with biker gangs.
But
right?
This is my
That's
issue.
Like his
no,
specialty?
I think this is his first time undercover. I
yes.
think he has arrested
yes.
many, okay, many bikers.
Okay, and this is okay, my issue with the entire movie. So you have the premier cop of Alabama, I guess, going under, like, his number one thing is, like, this is a cop who arrests all the bikers. Let's send him undercover. So,
oh my God,
your
good
argument might
point.
Be like, oh, the only cop that these bikers would know is him. If they're this good involved point. In fucking well, trials and going to court, like they are, they're
point.
Always in court.
They would absolutely, if they didn't know him, like the bikers raise a degree of suspicion that is this guy a cop? Almost to the level of, you got
to
tell us if you are.
But like, to me,
yeah.
but it's like,
be
glossed
real.
Over completely.
To me, it's
yeah.
like, to me, I think they do something interesting when he goes to Pensacola. We'll get into that. But I like the idea of, hey, you've been arresting bikers here in Texas. We need to loan you out to Alabama.
Well, that is kind of what it is, because the
I
FBI
think that is
shows
what it is.
Up. The hypochondriacal agent who shows up
oh my gosh.
Is the
who
FBI.
Right.
So they're taking him. I believe the conceit of the movie is they're taking him and saying, you could be on further a suspension. I can make your life worse.
I don't know that actor's name, but he's amazing, and I've loved him in every single
thing he's
been in.
And by the way, when he gets dressed up in that first moment, he does look like Paul Ryan lifting weights. The hat is backwards. The earring is in.
I love him so much.
It looks a little rough. But that FBI agent doesn't take him out of his state. He's like...
I never knew where they were.
He's like, work here. It's
but
like,
honestly, if you told me, actually, they start off in Alabama and the rest of the movie takes place in Washington State,
oh, yeah,
I would be like, why not?
I mean, nothing. There is no defining landmark in this movie at all.
Like, when they go to collect money from, like, the protection rackets, it appears to be a minuscule Midwestern town. It kind of is like... Reacher, it's kind of like the Georgetown in Reacher, where it's like somehow, for some reason, massive crime and corruption is happening in a town of 1,100 people.
Yeah, you're right.
Where
it's
the barber
so
shop is part of it. Like, I'm like,
so small. Yeah, what could you possibly be shaking down
and
here?
And why would the mafia have an interest?
By the way, but that's why I like it. $400.
Yeah.
It's like, it is on par.
That kind
Listen,
of
$400.
Though.
And
Here's
we won't
thing,
come
you guys,
into your DVD store ever again.
If you think about it, though, they're not, the bikers are not, the Brotherhood's not paying rent. I mean, they live in an encampment.
Yep.
So $400 for them from one, you know, one operation is
well,
not bad.
I would kind of buy the small town that has been beset by biker bandits, mm-hmm. like an old Western or like a samurai movie or something like that, where it's like, oh no, bandits are coming. Great. But the fact that there's enough of a mafia presence as well tells me that, like, wait, why is this place so economically
Is it like a
viable?
Farm league for mafia? Like, you come
there's
to this town to learn mafia, and then you go to a big city. It's like, if you work out good here in Alabama, you get to go to Chicago and do real
mafia
stuff.
Like, is this triple A crime?
Yeah, this is it.
Like, this is the minors?
But by the way, there's so much energy of this movie like this, where they go to the Tit for Tat Club, which is a strip / rock club, and Brian Bosworth explains the strip club to his partner. He's like, yep, this is where truckers go to get their rocks off by looking at naked ladies. Like, yeah, and like
hey, sure. Guys, let me explain.
Don't misunderstand this.
Well, you're about to freak out because you're going to see some
Wait
titties.
A second. I thought we were going to a bar. These women got no tops on.
And there's a metal band?
And that's another point where the script might come in handy. By the way, would you both be surprised if I told you that one of the biggest parts that were cut of this film was Brian Bosworth with his wife and children?
Was Wait, his we, wife we in this scene?
We don't see them anywhere, right?
No, they are completely eliminated from the film. I believe the woman in bed was established as his wife, not a one-night stand or a girlfriend. And he also had a child, which makes
Living
it more complicated when he kisses that other woman later on.
Yeah, he seems to have a real thing with Nancy.
Yeah. So that was...
I don't think you can have a kid... And a monitor lizard.
Yeah, I don't like them living together.
I'll be honest. That's
well, it started as twins. And then that monitor lizard ate him.
And that's why he's trying to wean him onto an all citrus and dairy diet. Please don't eat my kid. Please don't eat my other kid. Please, please, please don't eat my other kid. Babe, we can't put him down. He's my best friend.
Can we talk about Bosworth's neck?
Break it
down. I'd like nothing more.
I couldn't. It was so wild to watch him because his neck is. It looks like the Incredibles, like Mr. Incredible, is one line. You know, one line to his shoulders and then more like right angles. And there's no neck to speak of. It just goes straight down. It was really. Wild to
he
watch
is,
that really, neck the whole time.
It's basically, are these delts? What are these? Traps?
Traps.
I
traps?
Don't know.
It's basically like, you're right. It's like straight to traps. Like there is no neck. He's like, he really
There's
is,
no
you're right.
Curve.
He's a triangle and then a circle on top of it.
Yeah, like, yeah, he.
Like
yeah. But. Also, this is pretty square too.
Yeah. Yes.
And his nose looks broken. Like his nose does look it as like it has been broken. And I would say that there's something about him, like he, I guess, like if you were to bet money, you'd be like, oh, that guy wouldn't be attractive, but he is sexy.
Paul.
Go what? On.
You don't think that he has like...
Go hey, on.
I think he has like a sex appeal. I do think that like for the... Like he is... There's an energy about him that I do think he has like...
How would you describe the energy?
Confident... Like a confident alpha male.
Okay.
Like he doesn't need to...
Right.
Doesn't need to like... Have a quip.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to yell.
My guess
just is
yeah,
confident
it's all
enough
behind
to tackle
the eyes.
A car.
My guess is the reason that his family was cut out of this and that he does not have a romance with Nancy that follows through is he did not have sex appeal.
Got it.
Like, my guess is he couldn't sell that because I feel like there isn't a lot there. He is just kind of stoic and, like, threatening. You
listen,
know?
We all, the heart wants what the heart wants.
I guess
wants.
That's true.
You know what I mean? We've all got different desires and they're
yeah.
all right.
You're right.
You know?
You're
but,
right.
But I couldn't quite get past the hair situation.
Well, the idea of that hair is of someone who's like, I don't give a fuck how I look. But then that hair is like, you do.
Yeah.
Because you got it dyed. You're going to like two different barbers.
You
got to
keep
There's
it up.
There's a lot of work going
you gotta
on
You got to keep
there.
It up, too. You have yeah. to shave the sides.
Can you
like
imagine? Can
yeah,
you
that's
imagine.
A lot of maintenance. It's a lot of carefree.
Yeah, and that's also like the most recognizable hair because it's not like, oh, he goes undercover and looks different.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
He keeps that hairdo the whole time. And boy, he does stand out in a crowd. Again, for someone who's going undercover, like you can't miss that,
man. It's like when Schwarzenegger is like the sheriff of a small town with a German accent. You're like, huh. No one's questioned that. Like, that is odd. We're not calling attention to that at all?
Yeah.
Like, you just work in New Mexico? Okay, sure.
You're just a normal guy who sells stuff? Yeah. Okay. But you must at least spend 6 hours a day in the gym, clearly.
Yeah.
Like, again, this man sticks out in a crowd. You don't put him undercover.
Well, what's also weird is, like, this movie does that exactly what you're saying about Schwarzenegger is this movie sells us on, well, he's just a police officer. As if a guy that is this big, jacked, in shape, like, he would have to be in the gym. He is unquestionably a professional athlete. Mm.
Yes.
You know, like, and The Rock, they do this too as well. But they're like, no, he's a scientist.
You're absolutely right. And it's important.
He's an architect.
You're right.
For the skyscraper, he's an architect.
Now here, by the way, this is the thing that I love is he has an impressive body. You know how I feel about the Boz. But... Everyone
Boz
else
is bod. That's the shirt.
Boz is bod.
And it's just like pecs and
the
six pack.
It should just be like the cutoff leather jacket. But he and with a bod. But everyone else is also trying to like also show off the bod. Like Lance Henriksen is like, I won't wear a shirt either. God damn it.
Lance
like,
Henriksen gets out of his loft bed via a rope.
I forgot about that.
That's
I
how you get up.
I forgot about
have to
that.
In the middle of the night.
I forgot. About that.
He also they toss around their ladies like that's you take my lady now. You need an extra lady, take mine. And at one point they toss a lady onto Lance, to which he's like starts kissing him right away, like
she's
I'm yours.
It might have been an upgrade for her. Listen.
Yeah, they really don't seem to have any issues with it. I had a question, though, about the jacket. Because when Brian Bosworth is initiated into the gang, they say something like you can't even in a... This jacket could never touch the ground, not even in a fight. So I was like, wait. So part of, like, I think being in a biker gang is, like, you're going to get rough and tumble. Like, you can't get the jacket dirty or you can't fall down.
Oh, wait, I
down.
Don't even remember this.
Like, they're giving them the rules of the jacket. Oh.
Yeah.
And like, this is my cross. This is my thing.
Oh.
That's this. And this can never touch the ground.
Yeah. No, I
and I was
what
like, what does that mean? Touch the ground. Like, but it seems like if I'm a biker getting into barroom fights.
That, like, it's not his jacket. I think it's the, like, the basically the flag almost that's been sewn into the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is their, like, the,
that's
you know,
their
all
thing,
the,
their
yeah,
patch.
The thing they
yeah.
believe in, their sigil or whatever. And it can't touch the ground the way that, like, the flag can't touch the ground.
But I mean, but because it's
but
on
they
his
must
body.
Be rolling around all the time.
Well, like, do you take it off before you fight? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we yeah. saw their field day. They're in the dirt a lot. They're
yeah.
you know,
that's
messing
true.
It up.
That's
I mean,
true.
Yeah, I thought that was an odd choice.
But again, if you understand that those lines are probably improvised, it doesn't have to make sense for what happens in the rest of the movie.
True.
Because they're not attempting. Again, so much of the movie, even though it is, and it's such a testament to how compelling it is, it's unnecessary. Hmm. So much of the dialogue is wildly unnecessary. And what is necessary to understand the story that is unfolding is not said in dialogue.
Yeah.
We don't know why they're planning D-Day. We don't know why they're going to have a bomb that is a distraction and D-Day. Like,
why crash the helicopter after you've already killed him? Like, that was
But what were they planning to do with him as a human bomb? Where were they planning to go? Because someone's flying that helicopter. So
yes,
they weren't planning
Max
for that.
Dad from It's Always Sunny. Yes.
Yeah. They weren't planning for that helicopter to blow up.
No, I think they were putting a bomb on Bosworth and they were going to throw him out? Or were they going to blow him up? Were they going to jump out and he was going to blow up with the helicopter? They were going to throw him.
Throw
okay.
him. Wow. Wow.
But again,
as a distraction, I believe.
But they don't need a distraction. They already accomplished their. They seem like they walk out. They got
and
motorcycles
by the way,
in that place.
What
they
is
got
the
everything.
Security like in that courtroom?
Bad.
Because to have a machine,
by the
loaded
way, you'd also
machine
be like, hey,
gun,
this is the day that we're going to be doing the biker trial. Maybe we should up the security a little bit.
Maybe we should check under all the seats
in case
there's submachine guns there.
Yeah.
There's a shot of Lance Hendrickson with a rosary in one hand and a submachine gun just in his lap.
And
with
also,
a woman sitting next to him.
we know who the criminals are. Like, we know, like, this guy's undercover. Follow him. Like, we would know. Oh, hey, he told us Lance is going to. There would be communication. There's also something.
Well, Bosworth blows it. Bosworth knows so much of what's happening. All he has to do is call the FBI guys. Call anybody. He doesn't tell anybody what is about to happen. It actually happens.
Yes. And I didn't know where he was coming from there. I didn't know, is he feeling like he can do this on his own? Is he worried they're going to blow it? Is he worried about Nancy? I couldn't quite tell why.
Nancy's not worried about him.
Nancy,
who seems to need rescuing, is like, are you a cop?
Yeah.
Nancy
I fucking
does not
hate
like-
you.
By the way, Nancy figures it out. Meanwhile, they call the cops early in the movie. Like, hey, can you run a background check on this guy? And he's like, got it. I guess that person really just dropped the ball. Like, that person doesn't come back.
That
with the
person calls Nancy.
Got it.
That
okay.
person who I
but
think
you're right,
is
later. Much later.
Much later. Let's just get this going quick. And she's like, okay, a couple weeks later. Sorry, been busy. A lot of priests have been shot. Anyway.
Yeah, that woman who I think is Chains' sister, who's working at the police station.
That's what it seemed to say. Yes.
Yeah, calls Nancy and lets her know, like, that's definitely a cop.
Again,
but really just leaves a message.
Here's another thing, too. I think there's something that I think we're missing, but I don't think that Brian Bosworth likes to kill people. Like, I don't think he ever takes a gun to someone. He seems to have a visceral reaction to doing it. Like, whenever people die, it's by somebody else's hands.
Except until the end of the movie.
No, because even then, the motorcycle's running at him. He's like, step out of the way. And now he doesn't care about the guy in the helicopter. But I feel like he avoids killing people at all costs. And that's something that feels like a character choice. Like, he never pulls the trigger.
I know what you mean in that he never. But he causes so many deaths.
But
civilian
not, like,
deaths.
Yes.
When he blows. Okay, so the Italians take the PTP truck, right? Chains sells the PTP, the government's PTP
to
the Italians.
It really is PTP. I just thought I misheard it. So it's not PCP?
I think it's PTP only because I turned on closed captioning because I'm 49 years old.
I think it is too. I think it was not PCP. I think it was
something
else.
But I mean,
else.
I think they're trying to say that it's a, you know, yes. But
cooler than PCP. PTP.
So Bosworth rides
Don't
his motorcycle.
Smell it. Don't smell that.
So we're getting a lot of pushback on using PCP. So we're going to just change it in the
can't
script.
Can't clear it.
We can't clear it. Somebody's trademarked PCP.
We can't afford it. We cannot afford it.
I trademarked it. It's fucking great. You got to pay me.
We've got a Doobie Brothers song in this that we're barely paying for. You're telling me we can't use PCP?
By the way, the main slogan of the movie, that God forgives, the Brotherhood doesn't, that was also the U.S. Military Academy's football team slogan for a long time until like they realized in 2019 that the Aryan Brotherhood invented it. They're like, oh, we'll drop that.
Oh, so it's a real, it's really like, oh, wow. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So Bosworth pulls up on his motorcycle, and in order to get the, so that the Italian, the mafia doesn't get the PTP, he shoots the trailer so that the cab and the trailer separate, right? The trailer careens into a functioning gas station.
Oh my God,
yes. It's not closed for business.
No.
It's not, nobody's there. A working gas station, the entirety of which explodes.
Yes.
Multiple people must have got the number. They, in order to catch these bad guys who killed a priest, maybe he deserved it.
Which, by the way, maybe he did.
Maybe
and
he
I would
did.
Have loved that information, actually.
And you know what? I would have, too, because then maybe the people in the gas station could have lived.
Yes.
Bosworth is responsible for dozens of collateral damage civilian deaths while he's trying to take care of biz. The Boz is biz, baby.
I also want to just, we got to talk about two things that I feel like are so big. The face damage in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're like
this movie loves face damage.
I mean, and it actually like made me go like, wow, we don't say
face damage as a phrase lit. It sounds like a thing.
Yeah.
This movie loves face damage.
It loves a mangled face.
So much face damage. Yeah. We need to talk about the fact that the Italian mafia does a drive-by grenade. They don't even know. They don't, the shot starts with the guy having a grenade just in his hand.
That's crazy.
Oh shit, look, it's one of the guys. So they're not out to do this. He's out just like it's a fidget spinner, like. Oh shit, boom, boom, kaboom. Small town America, Main Street. Grenade explosion?
He flies through the window.
So many civilians died.
He flies through the window backwards, but yet the front of his face is the most fucked up. So it's I guess I buy it. But I mean, but it is so fucked up. And the number one thing that the bikers, when they go to visit, they all come in.
I like seeing them in the hospital
room.
They're
so sweet.
They're so
sweet.
They're
so sweet.
Yeah, except that's the where one they guy started like, hey, play to get harmonica. Me a little bit. Yeah.
The movie makes you really root for them. They are a found family of lost misfits.
And
I envy them.
But there is a sweet moment where Lance Hendrickson, and again, maybe this is misogynistic, but he's like, hey, we got to get him a wife. You'll be his wife now.
Okay, like, wait a second. So I couldn't quite parse out what was happening with him and that woman. Was she a prostitute in that brothel that they were in shaking down?
I think
down?
She was intimating that she had been. Because she didn't
been,
like she that seemed... he was taking all of their money, and she seemed to have a knowledge. Because he's like, what were you saying behind my back? And they're like, well, do you
I
know them?
I see. Okay.
And so that's what it seemed like.
Okay. And then they just made her they made her his wife in the hospital
room.
Yes,
and I will say that when you talk about acting performances, sometimes when the camera's not on you, it's the best thing because she holds eye contact with him and is so grossed out for the longest time. If you watch it, she's like, staring at her, and it's like she never breaks eye contact. She's just like taking it in, like, I gotta be
and
married.
And to be clear, he looks like Gabriel from Malignant at this point.
At this point, I mean, we're seeing him fresh.
Really fucked
you
up.
You know, yeah.
We also see... Okay. Now this...
Yeah, this is the most mangled
face
we're going to see.
The next thing that happens is when William Forsythe, a.k.a. Ice, gets killed, they give him a Viking funeral where they put his dead corpse on his bike on top of a funeral pyre and then light it on fire? What is happening?
I had so many questions.
How did they have access to the body?
I have no idea. I think they just picked the body off the ground.
They put a cigar. That's him. That's a corpse. What?
And how is
there
he staying upright? How is his body in rigor mortis? How is it staying that
way? They bought some embalming fluid. They posed. There are those things.
I would love a Weekend at Bernie's style movie with the
ice?
Bikers. With the bikers and Ice.
You don't want to piss off Mr. Ice, do you? Arm up.
the duct taping a gun to his hand.
Uh-oh, Mr. Ice is breakdancing.
I mean, this, the shot
okay,
you
the
have
craziest thing, though, I know this is insane, but I actually watched that, and I was like, it's a dignified way to go.
I didn't mind, I was like, that's an interesting funeral, but this is crazy.
This is insane, but I was like, that's an interesting ritual that I want to like remember.
This looks like the third stage at Coachella. Like, I feel like this is part of Burning Man. Like, if you told me,
Trey
like,
Anastasio's new band, and then we're gonna celebrate the life of Trigger Man.
I was just walking on the playa at Burning Man, and I came across a Viking funeral for a human being. So we watched someone burn.
By the way, Ice does my favorite move in this movie. The two motorcycles are racing each other, and there's a guy just happily driving his car. Ice, like, reaches in and slices his arm. So I was like, ah! And then, like, crashes into Boz. Like,
there's some, like, specific choices like that in the movie, which are really sinister and kind of spooky. And I really enjoyed them. I was like, oh, yes, of course, we're seeing multiple people just, like, getting shot in the head and all that jazz. But there are choices like this and choices like that. That quick little flick of the wrist where I was like, ooh, this is strange.
Well, the movie is very violent.
Very violent. The movie was rated NC-17.
Yes. You know? The movie was rated NC-17.
I believe it because I kept noting.
And they cut it back to an R.
I kept noting that, like, I was surprised at the level to which they were following through with the violence. It was incredibly gory and visceral and very violent. The explosions are constant. The explosion budget must have been off the charts.
I mean,
for
it's like this is a movie where you go, where did the money go? We didn't know where the money went with dancing. It's on, although we should find it out in the Last Looks episode. I will say this: you see the money on screen here. I mean, this is the $12 million. It's all there.
Yeah, the movie
it's
is
in there.
$12 million of like dynamite and electric guitar solos.
And by the way, I also feel like the guy, the team probably working the explosives. May have been part of this biker gang. They're like, yeah, finally, we're getting some just desserts here. We'll show you how it's done. Let me go to the audience here for a second, okay. See if you have any questions. You're in a beautiful shirt. It's like a baseball shirt. It says custom HDTGM shirt. I love this. Not one that we sell, but it's a great looking shirt. Okay, yes.
So you mentioned William Forsythe, who played Ice, was also in Raising Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So my question is, who would you like Red Rover call over from Raising Arizona?
Nicolas Cage.
Wait, hold on. Let me repeat these so I can, because I just want to make sure. So two of the actors in this film, the FBI agent and of course our second baddie, William Forsythe, were in Raising Arizona. Would there be anybody that we would call over from Raising Arizona to
I'm trying
this
to imagine
film?
Holly Hunter as Nancy. And it would be different and interesting, and they'd have to have to do something different.
Nicolas Cage as part, in place of Boz?
Boo, yeah, that's really John Goodman as
who?
Ice.
Okay. I also think you could have John Goodman as the Whip.
Oh,
that's interesting.
I like that.
Guys. Cool out, okay? I know it's been a while, but everybody be cool.
Great question. Great shirt.
So much overlap Raising Arizona also because of the supermarket scene. I was thinking about Raising Arizona a lot during this movie, and I'm like, oh, I got to rewatch Raising Arizona.
It's a great movie. Back to the crowd. Yes, sir.
The Brotherhood, they killed two National Guardsmen.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Great question.
Repeat the question, Paul. That's one of the best questions we've heard.
All right. So
tonight.
One of the best. June has said it's one of the best questions. Thank you for bringing this back up.
Congrats.
This is so important.
The question is when our group of the Brotherhood encounters these two National Guardsmen. They seem to kidnap them. They put them in a warehouse. They make them get into boxes. They stand up
crates.
But crates with like slats. Like it's a very slatted.
That's a crate.
Well, what's a box? Oh, a box? Like a crate?
Oh boy, a crate. A crate is not a box.
I didn't think a crate. I didn't think a crate is.
It's not crate and box. It's crate and barrel, right?
Well, a barrel is a barrel, oh but I think a crate can have. Wait, are you saying that every crate has a see-through? Yeah. All right.
But Paul. Any solid-walled crate is a box.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yes.
Sorry. Thank you.
The crate must have open air.
Okay.
That's what makes a crate.
They stand up the crates. And
I heard
then
Paul
they
and
fire
June got divorced because of a because they disagreed over crates and boxes.
Now I know. This is why this podcast is the number one podcast on Spotify.
Yeah. No.
Is that why?
By the way, we just won an award. Yeah, okay.
I mean, listen, when we put our dog in the crate, we say crate because it's got, it's but got open, it's not a box.
I would feel terrible if it was a solid
box.
That's
what I'm saying. It could never be, it could
our
never
dogs
be
dogs keep dying. I don't know why.
Well, it's that or the Snickers bars we're feeding them.
Get
I don't know.
And the fact that they are monitor lizards. I also thought. Wait a second. Sorry.
But wait, question is like, why go through all that pomp and circumstance to put them in crates?
Well, this is because what we are witnessing is the mental breakdown of the Brotherhood. This is and Nancy alludes to it. She says it was all fun and games until they started putting people in crates.
Yes.
You know, she knows. Actually
By the way,
articulates
this is,
that
this is
she
like the
watched
moment.
It.
They all go like, "Hey man, you killed an innocent person." It's like, "Wait. This seems like we've gotten off." Yeah, you're right. Like, they've only killed people who are guilty in this.
It makes no sense.
What about the girl in the fucking supermarket? They're in the supermarket. The girl with the braces, she's guilty of something?
No, I agree 100%.
They didn't shoot her.
It feels to me like a remnant of the script that they must have shot scenes from where that explained what the plan was. And maybe
or they're improvising.
But to me, it's like, part of their plan seemed to be killing these agents as a distraction or something. Because otherwise, why shoot this scene? Why include it in the edit? Like, none of this adds up.
Well, but then I have a question, and maybe I hope I didn't fall asleep. I was up very early this morning to assistant coach my son's soccer. but there's a moment where they deliver a helmet in a gift wrap box to these guys. They open it up like, look who, and then there's a head inside. Whose head is that?
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I can tell you whose head. Okay, so when they're in the small town and the grenade, it's the guy who throws the grenade.
Oh, but why is he wearing a motorcycle helmet?
Because the bikers, he's part of the Italian mafia.
But
the bikers kill him because they think he escalated too much by grenading their buddy now, who has a mangled face.
Got
it. They go, they chop his head off, they put it in a biker helmet, and they give it to his buddies, and they're like, you got to keep your guy in line, JK, here's his head.
But I think what was so confusing about that is like, it's not normally his daily wear. It's like,
it's like
when at the end of Seven, if Gwyneth Paltrow was wearing a cowboy hat, you'd be like, well, why? Why is
but
she
it's
a cowboy
also,
hat?
You know
like,
what
I
it is.
It's Paltrow,
I think it's
I
a bit of a misdirect. They're like, you think it's a helmet because we're bikers.
Oh.
JK, it's your bro's head.
Yeah.
So wouldn't there be blood pouring out of the bottom of that helmet?
I mean, at least out of the gift box. But also, did they put the helmet on and chop off his head? Or did they kill him
I mean, I'd love to see the mechanics of this.
It felt like, you know, if you go on Instagram and see like the Kim Kardashian PR boxes that she sends out when a new perfume comes out, there's always an interesting way.
That's not a throwaway. What are you talking about?
I'm sure a lot of people know what I'm talking about, actually. I know a lot of people know what I'm talking about, which is there's always an interesting way she sends them out for people to unbox. I've never received one. I'd love to if anyone's out there listening. But she will like deliver a cake or something and a little spoon, and then people have
cake?
To. Well, yeah, you can't have it, and you'll never receive those. Oh. But then people have to open it up and like crack it open, and then that thing opens, and then there's another thing inside that opens, and then there's the perfume. So it's a whole experience. And I felt like that's what they were going for.
Oh my gosh,
for
a cake.
Well, it also felt a little bit like...
it's like an unboxing experience. Thank you. Yes. Wait, what?
All we needed was like a full overhead shot of like, I'm taking this off, and ooh, this presentation is amazing.
Well, they did put it in a gift wrap box, but what I was thinking
or
about...
it's an episode of Chef's Table, where it's like, ooh, here's the helmet, and you open it, oh my gosh, some foam.
What I loved about it was I did feel like there was that actor was like under the table, because like they had to put his head in there.
1,000,000%.
Absolutely.
It was so chompy from like Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Also, his eyes were like this. So that means one of two things. They made his eyes go like that because they were like, it'll be funny if it looks like he's looking at one of his friends. Or when they killed him, they snuck up from behind and he was like, wait a minute, uh-oh. And when he
got frozen,
he was looking up and left.
Hey, who put this helmet on?
Which, one that's something that happens in movies all the time. Like, this idea that when you die, your face freezes in the exact expression that you were in. And I don't know that that's true. I don't know it's not true, but I don't know.
Another question. Movies try and tell us that when we die, we are in, like,
frozen in
our final, like, zoinks.
Where was it? Yes, you, sir, right there, yeah. Okay, yeah. So the one of the main guy that
he's still talking, babe.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Was a producer on this, and then ended up being uncredited. Like, why? Be proud.
Okay, so a couple things here. A couple things from the crowd.
That guy seems to
be proud.
If you want to repeat the question.
Yes. So Michael Douglas is a producer on this film, and he requested to have his name not appear as a producer.
Be proud. Be proud.
And I would argue, if you do watch the credits, it's because the credits have the best names of all time. It's like music by
Sylvester can I tell you one?
Handman.
It's I didn't see this.
My favorite one, and I can't remember. Hold on.
Yes.
Which character this? Oh wait, the part of poker is played by Magic Schwartz.
By the way, Avril Haley, our producer, has pulled up some of the end credits. Here he goes. Pool playing chick. Tracy Hutchinson, Isis Girl, Jennifer Sinat, One Eye Rick L. Birchfield, Big John, Smokey, Six Pack, right? And then look at this. There's another one here. This is Gut, Tool, Trouble, Mudfish, AWOL, Greek.
I take offense to that. But poker, Magic Schwartz,
Marie, Vitamin, Leroy, Hooter, pool playing chick. I mean, this
Tracy Hutchinson played two roles?
No, I think that
we just saw her.
We just saw her two times. Okay.
Guys, I'm so sorry to bring it up again. It's just, I would love it if we could change my, I know everybody calls me Vitamin, but could we just change it to something else? I'd love to be called something other than Vitamin.
Now, the other part of that question was, what is the deal with the harmonica guy and who gets his fingers cut off and wheel spokes?
He seems to be the only member of the gang who's growing a conscience or who's like kind of like, we used to be about like having fun and stuff and now we're just killing dudes?
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to chop your fingers off.
There is a growing sentiment that the gang has gone south. And I think Junior...
And again, I don't know what... I never watched Sons of Anarchy. I don't know what biker gangs
But you do watch the Mayans.
Love them. But I don't know what are they. Are they dealing drugs? Are they moving? What are they? Well, are they extorting businesses?
You would think that the storyline would be they're getting more and more reckless and outrageous because they are doing PTP as well as selling it or whatever. But the PTP is like something that like the boss brings in. He's like, guess what?
He introduces the main drug of the movie. Again, this movie truly like the main drive of this movie, and I feel like I'm insane saying it out loud, that the main drive of the movie is a character kills a priest and it's sentenced to 45 years. And there's a legislator who's like, that's too lenient. I want the death penalty for a person who's murdered a priest in cold blood. And they're like, fuck that guy. Like, that's the through line of the movie is just that.
Not just him, but like all of the Supreme Court of that state. They kill everybody, and they succeed.
Yeah.
Their plan, the bikers win. And Boz, somehow, he gives them millions of dollars of government drugs and then loses it. And then the only thing he can do is blow it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he blows it at every level. He allows Nancy to
die.
And
even, he allows Nancy to die. And also, you know, we really don't get any justice at the end because Chains is killed.
Yeah.
And so it's not even like we can sleep better at night knowing that this man is going to be rotting behind bars. Nope. Like, he's just gone. You know, there's no one.
After having accomplished his mission, he killed everybody he set out to kill. He did everything. He should be laughing and being like, I win. And then, sure, they can kill him. Who cares? He did what he set out to do. And that's like, you know what?
Failed.
That's a hero? But how much, honest to God, though, how much of that footage looked like the January 6th insurrection? How badly did you think they were gonna cut to the QAnon shaman on a bike, like, rah, rah, rah.
Look, obviously, we have opinions about this movie that it's awesome, but there are people out there that, I guess, they kind of agree with us, too. But it is now time for second opinions.
So, this is going to be Bob Seger, Night Moves.
Okay, well.
Don't explain it!
Move too good, could have used 5 stars. Didn't have to pay Amazon $2.99. Just gonna watch them free on YouTube TV. Just gonna watch the Boz play that role. And that's all I got in the last.
And that's enough.
Pretty good.
That was enough. Amazing. And wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's been a long 2.5 years.
Here's what I'll say.
Slowly getting back into second.
I don't reveal a lot about myself personally on the podcast. But I am going to say this to all of you. Every morning, my alarm plays.
All right. Wow. Let's try to move on from that. Stone Cold has 83% 5-star reviews.
As it should.
Absolutely.
This is a gem. This is a hidden gem.
Hidden gem.
It feels good to be a part of. Yeah.
One of the classics.
I do want to say very quickly, before I know we're going to do that, my favorite scene was motorcycle riding out the second floor, hitting the helicopter hitting car, all explode at once. That was
amazing.
Incredible.
Everything is exploding
here. I just saw that.
At a moment's notice.
Yep.
Gases. Yeah, I mean, people are exploding. Cars are exploding. Old beat up VW bugs that wouldn't even have any gas in them seem to be exploding.
Yep. Everything
is exploding.
Russian roulette is happening. Like,
Faces are exploding.
By the way, oh my gosh. Well, like I said, 83% of 5-star reviews. This first one is written by 01010100010101. And 01 writes, Henriksen and Bosworth aren't your typical baloney armed zit faces you see posturing on their hack-imaged Harleys with their porcine honeys. For my money, the best real badass biker was William Smith, and he wasn't shabby and darker than amber with Rod Taylor either. All in all, Stone Cold is a fun ride. Glad to get it on DVD. 5 stars. Steroids, Bimbos, and Hogs. That's the title of that one. This one is written by Jay Martin. Jay Martin writes, don't buy the hype from those who criticize this movie without watching it. Those critics will like nothing better than to watch nonstop episodes of various Lifetime channel programming. If you enjoy watching action movies, Stone Cold is a must. A rare find where the bad guys win. Most action films fall short in this category.
That is true. That is true.
5 stars, a rare
find. It's so true.
It is. That is true.
Troy P. Broadway writes, just sit back and watch this flick and get ready for a good time. I guarantee it will hold your attention and leave you wanting to recommend it to your coworkers on Monday morning. The Brotherhood is a motorcycle gang you won't forget, and John Stone is a character you won't forget either.
True.
Just let your woman watch it with you, and it will have her drooling.
Oh, what?
Wow. All in all.
Wait, is that D-R-O-O-L-I-N apostrophe?
Yep.
Did you write that one?
No, I did not.
June, were you drooling?
I wasn't.
By the way, this is the second review to use. All in all, Stone Cold is an excellent watch. And the title of that one is Stone Cold is Stone Wicked. And then, more here. This final one from Susie. I bought this movie for my brother for Christmas. He wanted it for years, but couldn't find it. It's a good biker movie, if you're into that type of thing. Which we are!
I love
Brian Bosworth's big lizard in this movie.
One scene!
Susie!
Fucking stars!
Susie seems cool. And her brother.
Honestly, I'm endlessly fascinated by Susie.
She's like, we love biker movies. My favorite part of this one, the lizard. What is Susie's life?
Wow.
Also, gotta get on Amazon to write this review.
That's the most fascinating part.
The most interesting person is Susie in this whole thing.
1,000%.
I saved probably one of the best details about this movie for last, because I do think that if you've been a fan of this podcast, listen to this podcast, you know certain things about me. And one of those things about me is that I love a man-woman scene. And this film was directed by one of the best directors of man-woman scenes, Craig T. Baxley, who directed Action Jackson.
Whoa! So
he came
in. Wait, is that the episode that had man-woman scene?
Man-woman scene was from Action Jackson.
Wow, that was a real... Is there a t-shirt for man-woman scene?
No, there is not. There should be.
Get on it.
The budget of this film was $25 million. Its opening weekend made $2.8 million. Its domestic gross... topped out at 9.1.
Wow.
The top three movies in 1991, Terminator 2, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Home Alone. This came in 113th place.
Wow.
It was beaten by Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2,
The Secret
Last
of
Boy
Youth?
Scout, Double Impact, Hudson Hawk, Highlander 2, Ernest Scared Stupid,
Highlander
Drop Dead
2?
Fred, and it beat Nothing But Trouble and Cool as Ice, another movie with a motorcycle.
Wow.
One little detail.
All the go ahead. All the motorcycle montages, of which there are many, were giving me such. What's the Hulk Hogan movie we watched where the guy throws the dog?
Yes, Mr. Nanny, I believe. Yeah.
Whatever that was. It was giving me such vibes of that scene.
In Florida
as well.
I kept
looking in the background to see if anything weird was happening.
I did as well. There's an interesting thing about his motorcycle, which I wanted to talk about, that he was a biker, Brian Bosworth, and he had previously built the bike that his character rides in the film, and he used his own bike. He built that bike and used it because he was more comfortable with it.
I like that.
So, yeah. And then I think
he also was wearing, if I'm not mistaken, Guess jeans.
Oh, really?
That seemed to have the patch ripped off in the back because it was that triangular patch.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, interesting.
The way that his triangular traps form his neck.
I will say, as a driver of an automobile, I always try...
Thank you, by the way.
No problem.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm also a pedestrian, but sometimes I drive automobiles, and I always try... And this is something I'll share about me, Jason. Open up because you've really changed the space with that,
what
you did there.
I'm trying to be more available.
So I'll reveal that sometimes when I'm on the freeway and I see bikers driving by, I try not to I really I actively
when they're coming through the middle, you mean?
Yeah.
Doing that
not even just coming through the middle and skirting around traffic and all that. I just want to give them, my energy says, you're not that special. You're not that interesting.
You guys are just...
Unbothered by them.
You guys just... We're talking about motorcycles, and you just made me realize something in my life that I'm realizing.
Oh, so get out of the way. Can we have a spotlight on Paul?
And I know that we all are sharing certain things. My stepfather used to ride a motorcycle.
Okay.
And he said he was in a horrible accident, and he had a...
Wait, what? Paul, I feel like you are having a repressed memory come out.
It's really...
And I almost want to stop you for fear that we're going to open something irrevocable right now. That we're about, you're about to figure something out.
I want to put some parameters around this as well.
Well, and I was going to say,
like, I don't feel safe. I think you are remembering things right now that maybe would be best talked about in therapy.
Honestly, if you hadn't started this, Jason, about your fucking
this
alarm,
we
would never have
gotten
here.
This is why I'm alone. It's too dangerous.
So anyway, we recommend this movie. I'm going to speak for all of us and say that we all recommend this movie.
Again, and Jason, let this be a reminder.
Guys,
no more personal information.
I will never share anything
again. Look at what happened.
I'm so sorry.
I want to pull up a picture of Brian Bosworth because I don't know what he looks like, and I want this to be a big reveal. I don't know. He could be alive, he could be dead. I don't know.
And Nancy, we never found out how she's currently doing.
All right, so
Wait, is he in a Christmas movie?
We got to look at this. All right, here we go.
Could we play that trailer?
Yeah.
Everybody, shut up. This is the most important thing that's happened tonight.
All right, here we go. All right, here we go. All right, here we are.
Matthew, you need to come up with your own plan to serve others this season. It's what Christmas is all about. It's the whole reason that we go elving.
Christmas stockings? Are they for us?
I think so.
I'm not going elving this year. There's no snow and it's just stupid kid stuff.
I will watch that.
I'm curious about it. And the title, Christmas Project Reunion. What the fuck does that mean?
Very complicated title. Also a complicated premise.
I don't want to go elving this year.
I will say Boz looked great.
Be anchoring the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he seems to be in it, but I don't know what role he plays in it.
Grandpa?
Oh, okay.
I think.
All right.
Or I'll coach? Coach Grandpa?
I got the sense.
Coach Grandpa Santa? I don't know.
We have to see it. We can't comment on it. But I got the sense that he might have started the elving tradition in the family.
I got a sense that did you think that the story might be taking place in modern day and in the adult's childhood?
The costumes are terrible.
That's true, too.
Has some Governor Gabby
but
vibes.
But I'm serious. Even though I love Boz, and the Boz was fucking great, I think Stone Cold, we would be, like, listing it in our top movies of, like, that era if it was a Patrick Swayze or a Nicolas Cage of this time frame.
Yes. But
that's right.
Everybody should still watch this because
fate is fickle. Fate is fickle.
You know what, Paul?
Fate is fickle.
F-I-F. And that's the shirt.
F-I-F. Fate is fickle. This is a classic fif. Wait, does anybody here have a good Stone Cold 2 title? And I'm serious. Don't fuck this up. I will destroy you. Okay, right there.
Taking Care of Bosness.
That's the show! Black it out!
That is it. Stone Cold 2, Taking Care of Bosness in the T Public Store right
now. Holy shit. That's fucking rad.
That's great.
That's a hero.
Wow. Well, we'll let you weigh in on this in How Did This Get Made?
I would like a fan song that is Taking Care of Bosness to the tune of Bachman-Turner Overdrive's Taking Care of Business.
We will play it on the How Did This Get Made Last Looks episode. We'll let you chime in about more Boz information. We want to know more about the Boz. Our Last Looks team has gone deep. We had like about a 2-page review of where all the money went in Dancing It's On. We're doing forensic accounting on Last Looks. So get in there. You can call 619-PAULASK. Big thanks to our producer up in the booth, Cody Fisher, and our engineer. And newly, Devin, what did I call you? Now I'm forgetting it.
Accountant Leanne.
Consigliere, yeah. Devin is our newly minted consigliere, yes. So
fuck you.
All right, thank you so much for coming out here tonight. Nate, Kylie, April Halley, July Diaz, Molly Reynolds.
At TalkTalk, we're helping the nation to save money on their broadband. If you're out of contract on your superfast fibre, you could save £338 on average by switching to TalkTalk. For just £24.45 a month for 24 months and no setup fees. So switch now and save big. Search TalkTalk. TalkTalk for everyone. CPI plus 3.7% annual increase from April 2023. Average saving on fibre 65 versus competitors publicly available out of contract non-promotional pricing on 9th May 22. Ends 13th July, subject to availability.